You know, I suppose that one of the side effects of having affordable appliances is that once they go bad or seem a little bit broken, it can seem a little easier just to get a new one than to have the one that you have already repaired. It is with that in mind that we bring next to the Lee Rayburn Show two members of Viroqua's Fix-It Group. Joining us next, Lisa Acosta and Kent Galloway, and you can join our conversation about things you've had repaired or things you've bought instead of going back to somebody to get it fixed. Well, Viroqua's Fix-It folks are there in the drift list to help folks get help these appliances and other things get back on their feet again. And Lisa, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. And Kent, welcome to you.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good, man. And I'll start with you, Kent. How did you get the idea to start this group, the Fix-It folks of Viroqua?
Well, I heard it on Ralph Nader's Radio Hour, a guy getting interviewed. And it's, you know, the repair clinics are all over the world. There's at 6 years ago, there was 220 in the USA. And it's more to help. We try to coach people to repair their own items and empower them that way.
And Lisa, there is a book that I'm familiar with, The Repair Revolution. Is that does that have anything to do with your message?
Well, absolutely. That book really lays out for anybody who wants to start a repair clinic like what we do. It just gives you all the tools, the background of how the sort of repair revolution got started, but then it down to details like templates for flyers and tools that you might need. So it really kind of made it easy to get this thing off the ground.
So what is this revolution? What are we revolting against?
Well, I think there's a lot of things, but you kind of mentioned like the appliances that only work for a few years. So one of the really interesting things I learned from this book was that idea of planned obsolescence was actually proposed by a man who was trying to sort of stimulate the economy after the Great Depression and saying, you know, it's almost more patriotic if things break and they need to be fixed because that gets consumers spending their money.
If that's patriotism, I'll revolt against that.
Yeah, right.
And
so that idea, yeah.
Yeah, the planned obsolescence is part of an economic engine seems like it's goes against my own economy. So with that, Kent, what sort of things can the Fix-It folks of Viroqua repair? Or, you know, what can you teach us to repair?
Well, you know, you mentioned appliances. You know, I think of like big items. We usually focus on items that people bring in and they can put on a table.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the table with different stations, and we have the tools, and we coach them to repair it themselves. So it's a lot of smaller items and household items.
And yet I saw on Facebook that you were able to fix your Whirlpool fridge this year.
Well, yeah. We don't do...
You don't bring in a fridge to the Fix-It folks of Viroqua. But
it is a lot to handle to do the bigger items.
And do you have a specialty, Lisa, in the things that you can help repair?
Yeah, I have a station to fix costume jewelry.
Ooh.
So usually it's very simple things like a clasp is broken or it just needs a jump ring. But even though it's simple, most people don't have the little set of tools in their house to do those little repairs. So that's kind of nice. We usually have a textile repair station and a bike repair. We usually have book repair, wooden items. And then our busiest station typically is small household electronics like lamps and vacuum cleaners and that sort of thing.
Wow, and I was just talking to an electrician last week on the show about perhaps you wouldn't be best served by going to YouTube to find some advice on doing electrical wiring, but it sounds like to some degree that finding help online and at these repair clinics might be a way to help steward in some sustainability. Ken?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You bet. Yeah, we have a electrical guy, a couple of them, two or three, actually. That's the busiest station. And, yeah, they're kind of wizards. I mean, they can fix a lot of things, you know, switches, cords, whatever. And, you know, we've got a guy sharpens things from knives to whatever.
Oh.
We have somebody sew, if you got something that needs sewing. Bicycle repair, maintenance, jewelry, book repair, wood repair, anything like that, we can do.
Hey, this is a lot more than fixing it all of a sudden. It's improving it, it's updating it, it's mending it. It is whatever you need to keep these things going for the long haul. I really appreciate that. Lisa, where do you find all these folks that can help you fix it, mend it, repair it, update it, improve it?
Well, initially, we had just put out, which is also how I got involved. I saw a post on Facebook in the Viroqua area community page that they were looking for volunteers, and this was before they had even had a single clinic. And so since you brought that up, though, we are looking for some more volunteers. Specifically, we need some more textile people to come with sewing machines or hand sewing, that's fine too. People who know how to fix sewing machines would be great.
Oh.
We've never had, I think maybe one time we had someone who could do computer work on devices, but usually that's not something we offer that we would like to. And then lastly, we're really looking for somebody to help promote us online who can do sort of the social media aspect of it.
You and me both, Lisa.
That's the tough part for all of us.
So you are recruiting some fixers for yourself and perhaps some social media strategists and some menders as well. And I'm thinking of a shirt that I've got a cuff that could use rehemmed, and I could certainly use a fixer myself. Are there other repair clinics like this that you know of in Wisconsin, Kent?
Not that I know of.
Huh. And
I think that there was one in La Crosse, but I do not know if it's still running.
You said 220 repair clinics in the U.S. You'd think just by we'll have to do some digging and find that out. I want to know what are some of the strangest things that have been brought to some of your Fix-It events. Lisa, I'll start with you. What's the most interesting thing you found show up to your Fix-It tables?
Sure. Just an unexpected thing was a kinetic device such as you would get at maybe Sharper Image, and it would sit on your desk and there would be like metal balls that you knocked into the other ones. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, and I also know that if you tangle the wires of those balls, then it becomes very difficult to be a kinetic device any longer.
Absolutely. And this one was a fairly expensive device to begin with, and it just one of the wires had come out, and so we did some glue wizardry. Kent and I worked on that together, and hopefully it's still in one piece.
It's and still moving as well.
Right.
Kent, what is the strangest you've seen show up at one of your events in Viroqua?
Well, you know, you kind of got me stumped. I can't think of anything, a wobbly chair that, the parts didn't fit together and took me a long time to figure it out. Other than that, it's just a whole variety of different items, really.
Yeah, and so nothing too far off your radar that there wasn't a plan of attack to figure out how to make it better again.
Yeah, pretty much, yep.
That's Kent Galloway also joining us. Lisa Acosta, they're from the Viroqua-based groups, the Fix It Folks of Viroqua. You can find them on Facebook, as I did. You can also join our conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email us, talk@WPR.org. Dan emailed and wonders if there's any liability issues involved, and what if someone claims that a sewing machine was working better before they brought it to a repair clinic, Lisa?
So we do have a set of house rules that we have people agree to when they bring their items in. And one of those is that we might break your item. So, and it, I don't really think it's happened. There's definitely been things that we have not been able to repair. But I don't think we've broken anything worse than it was. But there is that possibility. And we hope that the things people are bringing are things that, you know, it's the last-ditch effort. They couldn't get it working. They either can't afford to or don't know where to take it to get a professional repair, and they're going to let us have a try and see how it works out.
From planned obsolescence to fixing it with the folks of Viroqua, let's go to Kurt in Columbia County next. Hi, Kurt.
Hi, Lee. Thanks for taking my call. Quick story. A couple weeks ago, my electric dryer heat went out. So I pulled it apart, took off the back, identified the part I needed via the internet, a high temperature sensor, called around Madison, no one had it. The next day, I go to my local recycle center, drop off my trash, and I see in the metal stack, someone dropped off a used dryer that looks like it would fit mine. So I asked the guy if I could take off the back, blah, blah, blah. I did, and there was the sensor. I took it home, put it in my old dryer, and it works. Ta-da!
That is amazing. And also, you think about, I not just in terms of sustainability, but saving hundreds and hundreds of dollars just by going out to the recycling center and finding an old dryer and taking out its parts and applying it to your own. I think that makes a lot of economic sense as well as environmental. Kent, what do you think of Kurt's story?
Yeah, well, you know, that's a prime example of empowering people to repair it themselves. I mean, there's so much that's pretty really kind of easy to do if you think about it. And you can, you know, salvage old parts and get things working again. You know, the empowering thing is huge. That gets people's confidence up and they figure they can fix it themselves, which they usually can't. And, you know, another thing, we're always looking for other people that have expertise in an area. We'd love to expand on what we're doing. So we always are looking for recruits and help. There's lots of help behind the scenes doing forms and et cetera. So that's pretty much it, I guess.
And we have found another repair clinic, at least one other repair clinic in Wisconsin that appears to be up in Sturgeon Bay. Our guests right now are the Fix It folks of Viroqua with their repair clinic there. And as Kent talks about empowerment being huge, Lisa, I think of an opportunity for younger folks and kids to bring things that may not be working as well as they used to so that they can see how it works and also how they might be able to fix it.
Absolutely. And we just had a really fun clinic in Reedstown where we sort of geared it a little bit more towards kids. So we had a take-apart table. We had a couple little things there. I know some kids came and worked on taking a vacuum apart and putting it back together. And we also just had some fun activity set up where there were all sorts of tools that you might find in a garage that the kids had the opportunity, and the adults, if they wanted to just come and see how each tool worked and how to use it safely and what you might use it for. So going forward, we'd actually really hope to have more kids come to our clinic. So if you've got kids and you're thinking about bringing them, have them start setting some stuff aside that they want to bring in and see what the inside looks like and see if we can fix it.
Take a trip to the basement of the crawl space, find some things that have been squirreled away and are just sitting there and might be a tool for education and might be able to return to one of the main floors of the household. That sounds like a wonderful idea. Where does this go from? There is this story I've heard about the right to repair in Wisconsin. And I think Wisconsin's attorney general reached a settlement with John Deere over allegations the company limited access to repair manuals and diagnostic equipment to its own dealers. Where does the right to repair movement fit into the fix it of Viroqua folks? And what do we know about right to repair in Wisconsin? Ken?
Yeah, that's a huge deal, too. You know, the right to repair is just an example of corporate, they've got a lock on things. Mm. You know, we've got corporations that just are interested in selling you the newest item. So they don't want you to repair it yourselves, it's the right to repair is long past due. And it's just a prime example of what we need to do in this throwaway society, because we're just throwing everything away and we don't think about repairing or anything like that.
It's a nice reminder that we actually don't throw anything away. We just put it elsewhere so we don't have to see it or look at it or smell it anymore. It's something to keep in mind with our disposable culture and things like planned obsolescence and the fight against right to repair. Let's go to Kathy and Cable next. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Lee.
What do you have for us?
I live in Cable, Wisconsin, about 20 miles north of Hayward.
Mm-hmm.
And about 2 years ago, a small group of people started the Repair Cafe. And it's once a month, the third Saturday of every month, so everybody knows when it is. And we have a lot of the same type of fixer people. We have electrical, small appliances, furniture people, jewelry fixers, usually about three or four sewing machines. We also have a retired nurse who will take people's blood pressure. Besides the fix-it aspect, we try to make it a very social activity. So the people come in and they're encouraged to stay and help with their repair, or if it's something more complicated that they can't really help with, we have a game table, and there's always Mahjong and other games going on. We have our librarian comes in with a table and puts out puzzles, and you bring a puzzle in and give it to her, and you can pick up a used puzzle. So and there's always food available. Somebody donates a big urn of coffee and baked goods, a box of baked goods, and snacks. And so it's a social activity and a way for people to connect in the community, as well as a repair clinic for people to get their items fixed and not have to put them in the landfill or throw them away.
I was just talking to somebody last week lamenting, and they were lamenting our loss of third spaces. And Kathy, I want to go back to you. Oh, I lost you there, because I couldn't help but notice that the third Saturday of the month is coming up this Saturday. And I was interested about more in the cable repairing. The Repair Cafe and Cable will be this Saturday as well. But let me get some reaction on the social aspect of these fix-it events that you have, Lisa. What's it like? What's the atmosphere like there?
Yeah, it's the community building aspect part is really why I wanted to get into it to begin with. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot of fun. I mean, we even have sometimes people who came to get something repaired, but they see something else come in that they know about, and they can jump in and help. So, yeah, it's very collaborative. It's really fun. At this past clinic, my table, the jewelry table, you know, I had a couple repairs that each took, like, 1 minute. But then I just had a woman sit down and make a pair of earrings. So we just sat there and kind of crafted our own stuff while other people filtered around. So, and definitely people come in that
sometimes they're just curious and they don't bring anything, but they just want to see sort of what's going on. So we definitely encourage people to just come out and have a good time and learn something, watch repairs being done, even if they don't have necessarily an item of their own to repair.
Kent, is this just a cool place to hang out, even if everything you have has already been fixed?
Well, I think, we can improve on that. I'm just kind of inspired with Kathy's example. I mean, that sounds like a fantastic direction we should expand into. I love that. Community thing is real important, and we do try to promote that, of course.
Kathy and Eau Claire emailed. Eau Claire also has something called the Repair Fair, which happens during Earth Week. So this is much more prevalent than I had originally assumed. And it is good to hear because of the opportunities that are there to just get together or to find something that needs to be fixed. Like Helen in West Salem, who has a question about it. Let's go there. Hi, Helen.
Well, I have cut two electrical cords while I've been trimming shrubs.
Oh!
And they're great cords, and, you know, I just have to toss them. Now, can you fix those, or can anybody?
Kent, can we get a couple electrical cords fixed?
Oh, yeah, we do electrical cords. That's pretty easy.
And safe?
Yeah, sorry, what was that?
And safe as well, like safety when it comes to electricity, because I just talked to an electrician last week, so I'm fixated on safety.
Yeah, safety means a good cord. So we work on the cords, whatever it takes.
Well, and I am reluctant to admit this, but Helen, I'm with you. I had an air purifier, not a high-end one, but a simple small room air purifier, and I accidentally cut the cord off it. I placed something heavy over it and disconnected the connecting cable, and instead of getting it fixed, I went out and bought a new air purifier. I say that with regret, and also because not just because it isn't sustainable for the environment, but it's not sustainable for me either, which brings me to the idea of cost. Does this cost anything? Do you need to raise funds for the Fix-It folks of Viroqua, Lisa?
Well, we do a little bit of fundraising to buy things. Like, we always try and have supplies on hand, for example, to fix lamps, because that's one of the common things. We do accept donations. We don't require you to pay anything for the items to be fixed. But that being said, most people have been generous, and they'll throw a few bucks in our jar. And we did actually, before we ever had our first clinic, we were the recipient of a prize in Viroqua called the Viroqua Soup, where people come and eat soup, and you kind of pitch them your idea. So we got a little seed money that way. And I would say that now we run our clinics pretty inexpensively. We try to run them in places where we don't have to pay rental fees. We have one venue that we use sometimes where we pay a small fee to rent it. But, the volunteers are all doing just that. They're volunteering, and we compensate them for things they might have to buy, little supplies, but it's an inexpensive operation.
And we got about a minute here, Lisa, but what would you tell people who do not have this sort of repair clinic in their community about what they might want to consider before starting one?
Well, I would say read the book first.
And
that
book
answers a ton of your questions.
That book is The Repair Revolution by John Wackman and Elizabeth Knight?
Right. And, just get together and find people in your community with the same interest, and you'll get it off the ground.
And what's next for the Fix-It folks of Viroqua? And if you don't have anything immediately planned, where can we find out more details about you?
Well, we have two more clinics coming up this year. Sunday, August 30th, from 1 to 4 at the Lafarge Community Center. And then November 8th, which is also a Sunday, at the Gaze Mills Library. We'll be in their community room.
Hey, Lisa, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Kent, thanks as well to you. They are the two of the Fix-It folks of Viroqua with their next clinic coming up August 30th, Sunday from 1 to 4 Lafarge, and then again coming up November 8th at the Gaze Mills Library. And if you don't have a repair clinic where you are, maybe consider starting one. And the jumping off point would be The Repair Revolution by John Wackman and Elizabeth Knight. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to WPR News.